Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. So, it's really an honor to come in to your living rooms or your cars and talk to you every day, especially about a topic that I'm passionate about, and that is our children, educating our children, whether they're in elementary or preschool, elementary or high school. I'm passionate about that. Today, we're going to read the devotion from Windows on God's World, James A. Tucker, Jesus Studied Nature. And our verse is Luke 2:52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, Luke 2:52. There is an interesting statement in the book, The Desire of Ages, by Ellen White that describes how Jesus used nature as a lesson book in learning how to bless others. From his earliest years, he was possessed with one purpose. He lived to bless others. For this, he found resources in nature. New ideas and ways of means flashed into his mind as he studied plant life and animal life. You can find that on page 70. Imagine that as Jesus studied plants and animals, he was constantly learning of better ways to be a blessing, to be the blessing his heavenly Father intended him to be. Did you know that nearly all of Jesus' parables or stories were taken from the book of nature to illustrate spiritual truths too difficult for the people of that time to grasp? From his teachings, we know that he studied the lilies and flowers of the field, how they grew, the sheep and goats, and how they behaved, the fruit trees and when they were supposed to bear fruit, the weather and what cloud and sky conditions had to tell about change, the birds and how they built their nest, animals that lived in burrows for homes, and the fish of the sea and their habits. Jesus, who created all things by the word of his mouth, learned that as a child. He learned about the things that he had made just as you may learn about them. Ellen White continues on that same page in The Desire of Ages, stating that every child may gain knowledge as Jesus did. In another of her books, Christ's Object Lesson, she adds these words, "As the works of God are studied, the Holy Spirit flashes conviction into the mind." So when we study nature under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we have the assurance that we may learn in a flash spiritual truths that it may take the world's greatest thinkers a lifetime to learn. With such knowledge and wisdom, we may be a great blessing to others, just as Jesus our Savior was. And I don't know about you, but I love nature. I love it so much. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you've given us this book of nature. We know that there's the mars of sin on it, but there's still your stamp, your beautiful Creator stamp on it. I ask that you be with our show today, be with our listeners, that they will resonate with what we're talking about, and that their children will be better off for it. And I continue to pray for the family that has a father that's in the hospital with something that they don't know what it is, and just help them to figure it out. I thank you, Jesus. I pray for your soon coming. All this in thine holy name, amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. So today, since we were talking about that Jesus studied nature, we are going to go on a nature walk. And I've put a little nature walk form on my Pinterest site. You can go to mrgamblin2 and go to the board titled Windows on God's World, and you'll see it there, nature walk. Sometimes when you go on a nature walk, you don't see everything at one time. For example, this is asking for dirt. You might see that and leaf and a flower. That would be great, but you might not see a spider. You might not see a butterfly. You might not see a mushroom. And so I think it's really good. You know, we've been talking about how you can take one of these devotionals. There's so much material there. And we can really make it last the whole week. So they might find that caterpillar at an unexpected time, like during your recess or break time. Or they might find the caterpillar, you know, on the weekend. And so they would keep that nature walk paper with them or in a place that they could find it and check it off as they found it. For older kids, I'd have them make up their own nature walk. They could make it into a nature treasure hunt. You've done those. They're so much fun. So you can just have a lot of fun learning in nature. I just want to remind my listeners, too, I have 4 still wrapped up devotional books called Windows on God's World. So if you want to partner with us with a substantial donation, I know most of the other offers are any amount, but this one needs to be a little bit more because these books are rare, hard to come by. But you would have in a science Bible curriculum for years to come because each one of these 360 days worth of fantastic material, and you could do it over a number of years, and that would be your creative springboard. Okay, well, I'm going to go on to Curriculum Corner because I'm getting so excited about this nature walk thing, and I hope you have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. So we're talking about kids' guides to 9/11 and war on terror, and I'm sorry this show was scheduled for earlier in the month, but we lost all of the content, and so we're redoing it. So we're a little late, but there's still a lot of talk about 9/11 and the war on terror. And if you go to my History Social Studies board in my Pinterest site, Geography and Social Studies. It's the Huckleby's Kids Guide to 9/11 and the War on Terror. And as much as we don't like to talk about the subject, because it's in the news and our classmates talk about it, it's a good thing that you talk about it so you can help steer your child's mind to cover it in a way that you think is appropriate. Well, that concludes my curriculum corner. Now we go to questions parents ask. So this question is more of a statement. This mother's looking for affirmation, and this is her schedule. Every morning she does some Bible story study, scripture memory, and in the evening they have worship with the daddy. Every day they write in their journal and they can write about whatever they want in their feelings. And then they take 15 minutes to go over a weekly science statement, a history sentence, and some basic math facts. That is done via a digital app from Classical Conversation. They watch a couple of episodes every day of a cartoon that they like, but it's in Spanish, so that's their foreign language. They're allowed no more than 45 minutes to an hour on Minecraft or Wi-Fi. The rest of the time they can pursue their interests. This listener has a boy that is all into science, so he reads science books nonstop. And he watches YouTubers who do extreme science experiments and explain them. And then her younger son is a doer, so he's acting out a story, writing a book, drawing a maze, or making a game. He loves to draw. So the question is, what is the point in all the higher education stuff we teach? 2 years in foreign language, they don't remember it really. Or long division. Why do long division? And there's quite a few questions here. I think that ultimately we do want our kids to be ready for the next level, that they will not always be children in our home, that they will be out in the world serving others and doing good for others, and we want them to be well equipped. So everything we do in education needs to have that focus. Long division is simply something that we do by hand if we don't have a calculator. But if we have a calculator, then most everything we can divide with that. But they won't always have a phone with them. They might not always have a calculator with them. And a lot of tests don't even let them take calculators. So if your child is going to go into any type of profession that requires a test, they will need to know how to do some of those basic things. And then, why does a child need to take chemistry? Well, your child that is so into these videos of extreme chemistry things is probably getting a lot of exposure. I know that when I teach chemistry, it's one of my favorite subjects, and it's one of the favorite subjects of the students as well, because we're really learning about how chemicals and minerals and all of these elements make up the world. We're looking at the finite, how an atom replicates our solar system and that kind of thing. It sounds like your child is getting that through all of the exposure you're giving them. And trigonometry is used in, pilots use that extensively. So in algebra, they asked if algebra is used all the time. We just don't call it algebra in real life experiences, but algebra is used all the time. So as you're preparing your child for the next level to launch successfully, you need to look at, okay, I'm preparing my child to serve in this world in the best capacity they can. And it sounds like you have brilliant children. So as they get older, you really need to contemplate it. It needs to become maybe a little more structured, but definitely you can homeschool through high school. Unfortunately, we don't have very many homeschooling colleges. By then, our children need to launch. So with that being said, remember, we're having this interview with Bonnie Sala, and she's promoting 40 Unstoppable Women. You can have that book for any donation amount. Just go to homeschoolcompanion.org. You'll see the donation button on the right-hand side. I always get those mixed up. On the right-hand side, and a donation for any amount, we'll be happy to send you that book. Well, we'll be right back, so please stay tuned for the interview.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome. We are talking with Bonnie Sala. And if you were here with us yesterday, you heard about Corrie Ten Boom and Johnny Erickson Tada, some of these women who had experienced terrible trials and pain, and yet they just were steadfast. And even Bonnie shared a little bit of her experience being in a very dysfunctional situation and staying true. And, you know, I'm sure your family probably saw you suffering. You know, our families suffer with us.
Yes, they do.
They really do. So let's kind of recap. I think I'll just go through your biographical sketch here just to catch us up. Bonnie leads Guidelines International Ministry and is a second generational leader. Guidelines shines the light of the gospel in places of spiritual darkness through audio messages that encourage, equip, and bring hope in Jesus to new believers, the unreached, and to those living with persecution. An enthusiastic cultivator of partnership, Bonnie has led Guidelines International expansion into more than 20 languages. She writes and hosts Reset with Bonnie Sala and is an author and speaker. Bonnie's parents, Harold and Darlene Sala, founded Guidelines in 1963. What a great legacy, and I know that you recognize how important it is for parents to provide a foundation that will go beyond their reach. You know, if you,
yes.
Isn't there a saying somewhere, if you're mission is obtainable, then it's not really a mission. Your ministry and mission is something that can easily bless generations to
Absolutely.
Come.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, I'd love to share a story on that that speaks to that point. Many of the, you know, we've talked about a couple women who perhaps our listeners have heard of. I'm wondering if any of them have ever heard the story of Svea Flood. We go back to 1921. Svea and her husband were Swedish missionaries to the Congo. They worked in a remote village, and they really did not have very much success in sharing the gospel. Svea was actually only able to share the gospel and pray with one small boy who visited them weekly, came to their village selling chickens. He did accept the Lord, and Svea became pregnant. She was expecting her first child, and unfortunately, you know, she was in a very remote situation, didn't have access to good medical care, and she died shortly after childbirth. Mm. Well, she gave birth to a little girl who was later named Aggie, and her husband was so distraught over the loss of his wife that he actually turned his back on God, left the mission field, and little baby Aggie was given to another missionary couple who died shortly after from disease, and she was originally adopted by a couple in the United States. So fast forward many years later, Aggie is a grown woman, and one day she goes to her mailbox, and there's a magazine in the mailbox. Her interest is immediately drawn to the picture on the cover of that magazine. It's a picture of a grave. And on the headstone on their grave, she sees the name Svea Flood, who she knew was her birth mother, but she didn't really know much more about that. Well, the magazine was actually in Swedish, and she got someone to translate it for her. It was the story of a missionary named Svea Flood, who had shared the gospel with one small boy many, many years ago, who had grown up to become a pastor of a church of 110,000 people now in the Congo.
Wow.
It was an incredible, incredible story. She returned to Sweden, where she found her father near death in a very, very poor condition. He had become an alcoholic. She was able to reunite with him, to share the love of Jesus with him, and they were reconciled, and he was reconciled to the Lord Jesus before his death. So we see that God can use even the smallest smallest obedience in our lives, and we may never actually know how God will use us to change the world.
Yes, and I think that's a key point, because so many times, well, we'll do this, and if we, you know, win a lot of souls to the Lord, then yay for us. But it's not that at all. It's just doing, it's obedience, doing what God wants you to do faithfully, day in and day out, maybe.
Yes, and in many of these cases, women, you know, like, for instance, Mother Teresa, we have the story of Mother Teresa, who just saw Jesus in the eyes of the poor, of the eyes of the suffering. You know, we saw women that just Lillian Trasher, who she was a missionary in Egypt around the beginning of the last century. And a man had come to her and said, "Will you please come and help me with my wife? She's very sick." The wife ended up dying. And after the wife's death, the husband wanted to throw the baby into the Nile. She said, "No, I will take the baby." Well, that one baby eventually became 8,000 orphans that she would care for over her lifetime. She didn't have the training. She didn't have resources. She, you know, had no idea that that is how God would use her. But she just said yes to the need that God placed in front of her. We have a personal friend by the name of Dr. Kim Pascual. She's a medical doctor in the Philippines, and she works with the poor. She goes to the most poor places in that country and treats people one by one. One time she was asked, you know, what good does it do if you help this one person? There are so many poor people, you will never be able to meet all of the need that exists in the world. And she, and they said, "Does it even make a difference what you do?" Her answer, I feel, was stunning. She said, "It makes a difference to the one I save."
Yes.
And that's really all that God calls us to. He just calls us to the one person, the need that he places in front of us.
Now, when our listeners go to your website, guidelines.org, is there a place that they could donate?
There is, yes. There are many places that you can just click give. You'll find this book, 40 Unstoppable Women Who Changed the World, in our bookstore. And you'll also find our devotionals there. So we have 2-minute and 5-minute devotionals. We have devotional videos. We have some free downloadable Bible studies, a lot of free resources that we would love to share with anyone that can use them. We also share these devotionals around the world in 21 different languages in places where people are unreached.
So many times, that's probably the biggest curriculum question I get asked is, what can I do for Bible? What can I do for Bible? You know, there's no standards out there for Bible. And there are so many resources if you know where to get them. A homeschooler could easily develop their own Bible curriculum based on all of the free resources. They just have to look. And this is one potential at guidelines.org. 40 Unstoppable Women Who Changed the World. And Bonnie Sala is going through this book with us. But it was written by your father. And I just love the fact that Harold Sala wanted to maybe even send that into your life, you know, to put that blessing in your life that women are unstoppable when Jesus Christ is powering them. They do not need to have the endorsement of anybody else but Jesus Christ.
That's right.
So we have about 2 minutes left of our show, and I'm thinking that, you know, you might have your own personal mission statement that you kind of have been the mantra for your life, or a Bible verse that you could share with our listeners, with that mom that's going, oh, I'm imprisoned by all these kids that I have to take care of all the time. Or,
well, you know, I can just share from my own personal life when I was a homeschool mom, and someone said to me, you know, as God parents you, you parent your children. And a few years into homeschooling, at a point of great frustration and burnout, I realized that the only thing I had to give to my children, regardless of, you know, what subject area we were talking about, but just in terms of speaking into their life, would be that which God had spoken into my life. And so I really found it important to begin getting up earlier than my children, which was really hard to do, sneaking off, having a short period of time, just me alone with Jesus and his word. And what he would show me that morning, I would in turn share with my children in our Bible time. And in situations where I would sin, where I would mess up, where I would be impatient, do the wrong thing, I just believed it was so important to apologize to them, to ask their forgiveness, to show them how we constantly come back to Jesus and he forgives us and sets us back on our course. I felt like that transparency was really important.
Yes, and what a wonderful way to end the show. I hope you've enjoyed this interview as much as I have with Bonnie Sala, and go to theguidelines.org. Well, we've come to the end of our interview with Bonnie Sala, who's promoting the book 40 Unstoppable Women and How They Changed the World. I hope you've enjoyed this time with her as much as I have. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.